Oh, fun fact of the day for you guys. There was a French chemist back in the late 1700s, went by the name of Antoine Lavoisier. It was French. I might not be saying that correctly. But he was condemned to death by a guillotine. He was going to be beheaded because, I don't know, he was a scientist and they didn't like science. Well, he maintained true to scientific discoveries to death and told his assistant, like, hey, when they chop off my head, pick it up. I'm going to blink for as long as I can to prove that the head is still conscious after decapitation. So it happened. His assistant picked up his head, and this dude blinked for 30 seconds.
Damn.
After being decapitated.
Nice.
So, just remember that. If you ever get your head chopped off, you're gonna be around for another 30 seconds.
Morse code it up.
Right?
Tell the world your story through blinks.
Man, that's a lot of fast blinking.
Be like, what is it? Those are things from like the old Morse code telegram thing.
Just blinking.
What's going to suck is the person that picks up your head doesn't know Morse code. They're like, damn. What is he trying to say?
Spazzing out just, over there. What?
It's like, well, then.
There was later another dude, I can't remember his name, but he wanted to test the theory. So after he was beheaded, or he watched somebody get beheaded, and he called their name to see if they would look over. He's like, no, that could have just been, you know, some spasms making them blink. Well, after this other dude got decapitated, he was like, hey, Jimmy! And the eyes looked over at him.
Oh, shit.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to the Paranormal Minds podcast, season 5. You guys excited?
Oh, yeah.
So excited.
Right. It's like episode 107 or something like that, yeah. Season 5.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
I wanted to kick us off today by talking about another cursed object. I feel like we don't talk about them enough. And I like a good cursed object.
I mean, yeah. Who doesn't?
And this one, it's really odd, and more to the present than usual. Usually these things are from, you know, the 1700s, 1600s, something like this. Mm-hmm. This one kicked off in the mid-1900s to the 1980s. So,
oh.
Fun. And this is the story of the crying boy painting.
I think I've heard this.
Yeah, this sounds very familiar.
Oh, shit.
But I can't remember the story of it, so.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm here. I'm going to tell you the story.
Oh, well, thank
tell
you.
Tell us, storyteller.
And I am your host. Maybe that's why Tommy jumped in, because I didn't say that. My name is Shane, and I am the host to tell the story. Joined by Tommy.
Hello.
And Josh.
How do?
Co-hosts that are not telling the story.
We'll tell the story if we want to.
There was a painting.
Let me Google.
It was about a boy. He cried and people died. There you go.
That's exactly it. The end. Tune in next time, guys.
Well, that was a good season premiere.
Right? Super short. What was that, like 2 minutes?
All right. So the story of the crying boy painting. Starts in the early 1970s over in the UK with a firefighter named Alan Wilkinson. So he was busy as usual doing what firefighters do, fighting fires. So when houses burn down, there may always be some items that evade damage just by chance or luck, right? Mm-hmm. So Alan didn't pay much attention the first few times he saw a particular painting untouched in house fires. But after seeing the same painting survive when an entire house burned down, you know, 8 to 10 times, he started to take notice. The painting was of a crying toddler boy, and in each fire, the painting would be completely untouched by the flames. Allen definitely became more interested when a fellow firefighter's brother's home burned down. Ron and Mary Hall owned a home in South Yorkshire, which had succumbed to a fire and was nearly completely destroyed, all except for one painting of, guess what?
Dogs.
Oh, I was going to say Van Gogh.
Well, you didn't guess it. It was of the crying boy.
No. I was close.
Who would have got?
So then in 1985, Ron, Mary, and Allen went to a popular tabloid in Britain at the time, The Sun. The Sun then published the story and immediately started getting contacted by people with similar stories. Tons of reports came in of other homes that had been burned down, with the painting surviving, as well as other strange happenings. One woman claimed her 3 sons and husband died one by one after buying the painting. Another claimed the painting would swing back and forth on the wall by itself. One man destroyed the painting after his house caught fire, and then he had to stay in the hospital with his family due to smoke inhalation. When they returned home, the painting was mysteriously hung back on the torched wall. Shortly after these reports, one reader physically put one of the paintings in a fire, and it did not burn. A security guard by the name of Paul Collier decided to test that last point. He started a bonfire and threw one of the crying boy paintings in. He confirmed that after an hour, the painting still had not burned. Ooh. Now, let's dig into the fire station records next. So, Alan Wilkinson has now logged over 50 crying boy-related fires starting in 1973. Numerous other firefighters had also noted seeing the painting survive fires. As for the cases of the fires, they mostly were deemed to have been caused by carelessness of occupants and of faulty electric heaters. So where did these paintings come from? They were prints sold by a local company. Records indicate that the company sold about 50,000 copies of the painting. The artwork was signed by Gravani Bragolini, but initial research will tell you that there is no such artist. Ooh, the plot thickens. But if you dig enough, you will find that the name was actually a pseudonym used by a Bruno Amadio, an Italian painter that was born in 1911. Turns out, Bruno painted a whole series of crying boys and girls. I think there are at least 65 of these different paintings documented out there. And he would sell these paintings to tourists. Some ended up in reproduction, like the reference popular crying boy painting, and it is widely speculated that old Bruno was never actually paid for the success of his works. Amadio died in Padua, Italy in 1981, and not much more is known about the painter or why he used a pseudonym on his works. Oh, there's more. You just wait. So, The Sun had such an overwhelming response of panic from owners of the painting that, you know, they're like, what do we do with this painting? You told us a story. I have it hung up in my house. I don't want my damn house to burn down. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? So, The Sun was like, all right, send them to us. We'll take care of it. We'll destroy the paintings. Just send them in. You know how many of these copies of these prints they received?
No idea.
3,000.
Oh, very, very, very close. 2,500 copies shit of this painting were sent in.
I should have said a dollar.
Right. So the Sun was like, all right, we're going to burn them. Well, it shouldn't have been a surprise, but they did not burn easily. They tried and tried and tried to burn this big pile of paintings, but they did eventually manage to burn them all. So after this, the curse seemed to die down until the year 2002. There was a show called Scream Team that traveled to Wigan, Lancashire, to investigate a cafe that had recently been mostly destroyed by a fire. Hung on the back wall in the cafe hung what was speculated as one of the last copies of The Crying Boy. This is 2002, 20 years later, right? And yet again, that painting was undamaged. The show brought in a medium to you know, to do what mediums do on the painting, and they sensed a connection to an artist in Spain, so a little different than our Italian painter, and images of a car accident. Now, of course, that didn't go anywhere. It was just the medium detected on this one painting. And so whatever you want to do with that. But one of the owners decided, hey, now that we know the stories, now that the medium has this, now their cafe burned down, burn this painting. We don't want it. So the team on the show doused it in gas, or petrol, as they would have called it over there, and set it on fire. Not once, not twice, but three times until the fire actually took doused in gas. Whew. Now, everything I've said up to this point is fact. It's absolute fact. And you guys know how I like to do. I don't like to speculate on legend too much, but a few of the legends connected to this, I think, are worth at least touching on. But wanted to get the fact out of the way. So make sure you draw a line in the sand here. And after this point of speculation or legend.
Okay. Point of no return. Got it.
Right. So it's widely believed that Bragolini or Amadio, whichever name you prefer for the Italian painter, used children from a local orphanage as the subjects for his paintings. Now, the story splits a little after that. Most people will say that the orphanage burned down, killing all of the children at some point. Now, some people will say that Amadio would actually adopt the children, and after he was done painting them, he would kill them and bury them in his yard. Oh. But it's widely accepted that they were all orphans. There's also stories claiming that you can acquire both a crying boy painting and a crying girl painting, and if you hang both of them in your house, it'll actually have the opposite effect. You won't be cursed, your house won't burn down, but it'll bring good fortune and luck into your home. Not sure I want to test that theory, but a lot of people say that's true.
eBaying pictures now.
My question is, what does the crying girl do? Does she flood your house?
Now, so there's not a lot. There's, again, the unproven stories connected to the random other paintings. The only proof are the crying boy, the popular one that sold about 50,000 copies. All right, and there's also a story that the boy in the painting was actually a runaway child. So this is just the popular one. To your point, Tommy, why don't the other paintings do anything? Well, that it was just this particular boy in the popular one, and he lived on the streets after his parents died in a fire when his house burned down. Now, after that, fire seemed to follow this kid around. Everywhere he went, something burned down, until the artist, Amadio, adopted him from the street. He's like, oh, I'll take you in, and I'll paint you. So he painted him, and then his own studio burned down, and the kid ran off into the darkness again. Now, again, those three pieces are legend, but the rest of it is fact. So what do you guys think? What are your initial thoughts on this?
I have an initial question. The prints that were sold were all from the same company?
Mm-hmm.
All 50,000?
Yes.
And he received no money?
Yeah, well, widely speculated, because he sold them under a pseudonym to tourists. Mm-hmm. So the tourists would take them from Italy back to, like in this case, over to Britain, where they were just reproduced, and they didn't know who to send any money to or who to contact. Mm-hmm. They're just like, oh, yep, you're the owner of this painting, you bought it, so you get to do reproductions.
I could say, I don't know. I don't know. I want to be like, yeah, he's fucking mad because he didn't get paid. And he's like, no, man, whoever buys my reproductive paintings, their house is burning down. Like,
oh, shit. So nothing to do with the kids at all. It's right. A curse from Amadio himself.
Yeah, he's just mad as hell because he didn't get no money from it. I lived in a poor house. Like, you know.
Oh, man. Well, if that's the case, why do you think he would have used a pseudonym if he wanted money? Why not actually use his real
artists,
name?
I think a lot of artists use pseudonyms, though.
Oh, yeah. You got,
did they not?
You got Banksy and a couple other people. You know, it's not Banksy's real name, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't Banksy like do illegal tags and stuff?
He does like pop-up art and stuff. Like he comes in like at night or whatever and boom, it just appears there the next day. So I guess it's illegal in a way, but yeah.
No.
So, I mean, I guess
well, I can see why he would use one. Yeah. Well, maybe that's why. Maybe the stories are true. Then the kids were getting like murked out, and he was killing the kids. He didn't want anybody to know.
All right. And that could be because that's I do know a lot of artists and writers do use the pseudonyms, but there's usually a reason to stay anonymous. But in today's world, if like I publish a book under a fake name, a pseudonym, I'll still get paid for it because of today's technology.
Yeah.
So if he was expecting money back then in the the 50s is when he was painting these paintings.
I love that when I Google painters with the name, that what comes up is painters with disabilities, painters with schizophrenia, painters with distinct styles, mental illness, dementia, and bipolar disorder, and all that.
Yeah. There's a lot of troubled people in the artist world.
Yeah. Us. We're struggling, please.
But yeah, on pseudonyms, because I know, I'm a big Anne Rice fan, and she used a pseudonym to write, like, erotica, I believe. But that was because it's like, well, I don't want to put my real name on this. That's weird erotic stuff.
It's funny, you asked about the picture behind me, and I told you it was Cassius Clay. Wait. Is that Mark Twain's name? I could get him mixed up. Let me see here. But that Mark Twain is his... No, it's Samuel Clemens is his name. My bad. Cassius Clay was a senator that was... Y'all gotta check that out about that guy. But, like he knifed people all the time.
I do that in Call of Duty.
Right. But no, Mark Twain is Samuel Longhorn Clemens was his real name, and he just went by Mark Twain. So.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But did his publisher know that?
I mean, I'm sure his publisher did. I mean.
There's the. Mark Twain does roll off the tongue, like how actors change their names these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want to watch Glorgomagus Bass Drum Face. They change their name to John Cena.
Well, yeah, and you got like Lady Gaga and Fergie and God, you look at anybody in a metal band. I mean,
yeah.
Murder Face.
Right.
Yeah.
Buckethead. but yeah, I mean, maybe he wanted to be famous. He figured that this name would make him famous, would be renowned. Because when he changed it to Bruno, wasn't it Bruno? I can't pronounce the other part.
Hey, we don't talk about Bruno.
That's the problem. That's why he didn't get paid.
That's why he cursed everybody.
Yeah, man.
Well, so he changed his name to Gravani Bragolini.
Okay, I got it.
Now, his real name was Bruno Amadio, and okay. I'm like, Bruno Amadio rolls a lot better.
Maybe.
But it doesn't sound as extravagant. Maybe right, that's what yeah, right. going for. So, I am Gravani Bragolini.
Have you checked to see what those names mean? Or like what they're associated with? Some people do it based off of what something's associated with.
Well, I'm a paranormal research, not a... nameologist.
Yeah. It means hairy pasta.
Hey, I just found out the name Cash in English stands for maker of chess.
Nice.
So
okay.
I don't understand.
I don't either. So
well, I know my name means gift from God. That's what Shane means, and Matthew means gift from God. Like, I'm two gifts from God. Just think about that.
Mm. I mean, you are pretty damn fine.
I think my name's like twin. What is mine?
Well, now I'm curious as to what mine means.
I'm going to be Googling names here.
All right.
Yeah, mine means twin.
Mine means God is deliverance in the Old Testament. All right.
What does my middle name mean?
So, son's name, Marshall Azrael. Translate those two. It means contributor to the angel of death.
Yeah. Well, we know that's why you named him.
Oh.
That's exactly
my middle name means forever ruler or always ruler. That's probably, this might be my problem. I went with Thomas instead of Eric. So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about dead orphans.
All right. Yeah. That seems more interesting than our names.
I'm so excited about this. I can't wait, guys. Yeah.
So based on those stories, I mean, it's very, very, very commonly believed that just can't be proved. And, you know, you guys know we come across that quite a lot researching this. But like most stories, it comes from somewhere. And for all of the stories that have that one thing in common, being the orphans, I tend to believe it. Now, I don't know if he murdered them or if the orphanage burned down. Like, which one of those stories compels you guys?
I would aim more towards the, if there were orphans and he was in fact painting them, then their orphanage burned down or something of that nature happened, at least to the little boy that the original painting was about. And the reason I say that is because they survive the fires and it seems to always be a building burning down. I mean, I don't know all the stories. You did say one about the family members just dying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how they died, but
yeah, usually most of the time the people survive, so that could be something there. Like, he didn't want to hurt anybody,
mm-hmm.
but he wanted the places to burn down. Now, being Prince, how do you think he would transfer his essence over like that?
I don't know.
Like,
that's in my opinion, and there's no basis on this whatsoever versus my opinion, look at it like a medium, like a mirror. Like, they say that mirrors are, my train of thought ran out the door. Fuck.
Come back.
Have you ever seen the movie Mirrors? All right. So every reflective surface has another life in it. Like, there's another world there. And in my opinion, if you have the same image, what's that difference? You know, maybe that same world is just in that image over and over and over again, and he has the ability to travel from image to image to image, same as any reflective surface kind of thing.
Because it is him.
It's him, yeah.
No matter if it was copied, reproduced.
Right.
Now, so in that way of thinking, if we pulled up a copy of this painting and just put on a computer monitor, we could feel the effects of it.
I mean, I would assume so. Same idea,
gosh,
right?
I pulled it up on my computer just a few minutes ago.
I haven't made it that far. Good luck, Tommy. Quick, Google the girl. Get the girl of the image. Whatever it is.
Counteract it.
Man, my house burns down, okay. Shane. I'm coming after you. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't tell you to pull. I researched it, and I didn't even do that.
Well, I mean,
he strategically went around it.
Yeah, I looked at like thumbnails on my phone.
What if it's
the closest
what
I
if
got.
It's something that has to be like hanging in the like? You got to have it like a screensaver. You know,
has to be physical.
Yeah, instead of just actually, you know, just for a second on the screen or a minute on the screen, it has to. The energy has to feed into the house.
Oh yeah.
Now, that kind of makes sense because when it's removed from people's houses, they no longer are affected by the curse. Mm. So if you just had it up on your monitor for a minute, I don't think you'd be affected since removing the painting.
That makes
remove the curse, essentially.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Josh, let's print a bunch of copies and sneak in Tommy's house and hang them.
No, I will sick my lovable dogs on you. They won't bite you, but they'll lick you to death.
All right. We wouldn't be allowed to be sneaky. We know that much. Be like, get the fuck out of here, damn dog.
Actually, Moxie barks. like the moment like something walks by, she just like freaks out about it. So,
all right. Well, what if we? Do you think it would work if we hung them on the outside? Just absolutely cover the entire
house. It burns the neighborhood.
It's a mosaic of the crying boy.
Yeah. Oh, actually, since it won't burn, the paintings won't burn, your house would be protected.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That'd be some wild stuff.
Right, next forest fire. Here we go.
Yeah. Both your neighbors' houses burn to the ground and yours is perfectly fine. Right.
Hey, it's a good way to get some extra land.
Right.
Yeah.
No, China just come in and buy it all up.
Yeah.
Well, so on the kids and everything, we didn't even talk about it, but the one where the artist actually adopted the random kid mm-hmm. and his studio burned down, any belief in that one at all?
And it wasn't the boy from the picture?
No, it was.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Well, that's weird.
So he still painted, Amadeo still painted all the orphans, but this is the only one he brought into his home, and then his studio burned down.
I'm what throws me off about that, and I'm just going to say, it sounds like Firestarter, if that makes sense. Have y'all seen Firestarter, read Firestarter? It's a Stephen King book. It came out in the 70s. Actually.
Oh, the little girl mm-hmm. that had like superpowers essentially?
Yeah, like she can just start fires.
Yeah.
It kind of that whole story kind of reminds me of Firestarter in a way. You know. So that's the only thing that like, makes me I just don't really know.
So that makes sense. The fires followed this kid around and then so this would have been in the 50s, right? So the fire started with the paintings in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So the kid could have been dead at that point, and maybe that mystical energy transferred into any image that existed of him.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. Or I was going to say someone just used the story Firestarter and just put a kid in there and made the story based around that. But
when was that book written?
Hang on. Let me see here.
Like I can't just use Google, but...
You're not allowed to use Google.
The film came out in 84. So the book was released in 1980.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they're extremely close in when the story would have come out, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's possible.
I want to kind of think about this think about it like this. He was dead when the stories came out? The kid was? Or do you know?
Oh, no one knows anything about the kid. Yeah.
Let's just assume that he was. There's a possibility that either the guy that adopted him was really good to him, and he was mad that there was no money being made off the prints, that he's the reason the curse is there. Or the adopter was not such a good person and he wanted him to suffer and anybody that had his paintings suffer.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Either way makes sense. Kind of like two sides to the same coin.
Right.
Well, there has to be some emotional connection, right? Because we know with other cursed objects like Robert's doll or that doll from... where was that in Japan?
The Okiku doll?
Yeah. And a couple other cursed items and dolls and stuff. Normally, except for Annabelle, that one just popped up out of nowhere. But most of them, they have a connection. Like Robert's doll had a kid who loved that doll more than anything. And it's believed that his spirit moved into the doll. And if you touch it or anything, bad things will happen. So, and with that other, you know, the Ikuki doll, you know, the teeth grew because it had an emotional connection to the little girl. So.
So what if it's nothing to do with the little boy in the painting at all, but the person who bought the painting, the original painting, had an emotional attachment to it, and then someone took it and made prints from it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
a possibility.
Yeah.
And they were mad that their painting was taken. They're like, well, anyone who has it now.
Or
you know, their house burns down.
Or think of it this way, you know, what if the person who owned the original painting, I'm just going to throw this theory out there, might have been an artist who thought it was good, died in a car wreck, burst into flames. Someone sold his precious painting because he loved that painting and printed it, and now he's connected to it.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, because that was one thing I couldn't figure out on why the medium sensed an artist, but in Spain in a car wreck, which...
Spain's not far from Italy. Actually, it borders Italy.
So, a tourist had went through from Spain to Italy, got it. I like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And like I said, it could have been another artist who's like, my goodness, this painting, it's so, it evokes feelings, and this is my favorite. And, you know. So, yeah.
I wonder.
Hey, you guys are reflecting in my glasses. I can see you.
There are multiple of me in there.
Yeah, infinite glasses there.
Curse in Italy. Okay. Now, I was looking at origins of either of those names, like Bragolini or Amadio. They're both Italian names, but it would have been interesting if one of them was of Spanish origination.
Yeah.
Now, who's to say he isn't Spanish, has Spanish blood, and
very, very possible.
Was born in Italy, has an Italian name because his father was probably Italian, you know. So, but he's still Spanish in a way.
I looked up, Bruno is actually Germanic origin, but anyway, we're talking about the 50s. Like, all of our names come from somewhere else.
Yeah. Right.
All right. But I like that. I like that.
I keep forgetting that it's that late in our the history of the things we talk about, because normally it's not that late in history.
Oh, yeah. With the last instance being in 2002.
Right. Which, and that one-off is weird.
Oh, right. Like, I wonder where that painting was in those years that it didn't burn anything down, and why it all of a sudden decided 20 years later.
Well, you know, that's why I'm thinking, like, it has to be hung up on a wall facing out, like, not in a crate or a box or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it has to feel the energy. And, like, we've talked about, like, with demons or spirits or whatever, you know, they feed off your energy, so, you know, when you go to investigate somewhere, you do it for one day, you might not get anything, but if you stay for like a week or two, you get a bunch of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So. Maybe.
And I'm assuming there was no definitive timeline of how long the paintings were in the buildings or the houses.
No, they all changed. I think the longest span I saw, this person said that their grandparent had it for 20 years. So 20 years and nothing happened, and the house eventually burned. So, but then some people are like, we bought it and shit happened right away.
How many kids did they have? That would be my next question. Grandparents aren't going to have kids at their house 24/7 like a parent would. And if you've got several kids, then I could see it manifesting significantly more energy quicker.
But with it being fire and destroying, wouldn't it also maybe feed faster with negative energy?
It could.
Yeah.
It could, but I like where you're going with the kid thing, because the common thing, the people that got it the worst did have kids.
See, yeah, it makes sense.
Could it be that that kid was whatever was possessing said paintings? Let's just say they were jealous of a loving family.
Yeah, I mean, if they are
their original family, yeah. If they are, in fact, orphans.
Man, yeah. I like that. That kind of checks out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, the grandparent house just sat there for 20 years.
Yeah.
And then the grandkid noticed it and realized it. And he told his grandma needed to get rid of it. And then the house burned down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was one of the stories. So with the one little thing I think is worth noting, you can actually look on YouTube and there's still videos of people trying to burn the prints of this. And you know how people do. They hear things like this and they want to disprove it, right? And so a lot of people have done that. Well, somebody, and I can't remember the name, but I just wanted to note it, somebody did some sort of test and determined that the producer, the reprinter, whatever those companies are called, producing the prints, used a flame retardant material while making this particular painting because they thought it would be of better quality. And then soon after, of course, you know, they stopped doing that. They realized they shouldn't because of this. That popped up in a lot of the research, but I couldn't lock down an actual company or anything, so I didn't want to officially include it. But it seems legit, at least to a point.
I actually, when I looked up the painting on Wikipedia, they have that company that you were talking about.
I don't use Wikipedia. Well, that is not a trustworthy site.
It's gotten better, actually.
I can type the source as my butthole, and it'll stay up there.
From a
facts.
BBC Radio 4 production company that called Punt PI did research on it. They said that it was treated with a varnish containing flame retardant and that the string holding the painting to the wall would be the first to disintegrate, resulting in the painting landing face down on the floor, thus being protected. So.
You know, where, yeah, maybe, right? Maybe. That doesn't account for the people that were like, bonfire. Took an hour to burn the painting. Mm-hmm. That does not make sense. I don't care how much flame retardant you got on there. Not happening.
Yeah, and then soaking it in gas.
Yeah.
Because flame retardant's only going to burn at a certain temperature for X amount of time before it finally gives away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the whole, a lot of the purpose for it. That's why, like, curtains in theaters and stuff have to be flame retardant or flame resistant. You know, sheetrock has an hour to 3 hour burn time, you know? So
keyword being resistant there.
Yeah.
It's not impenetrable.
It's like waterproof versus water resistant when you're buying a tent. Right?
Right.
Water resistant up to X amount. After X amount, however much it is, it's gonna leak through. So
yeah, usually 3 to 4 raindrops and then you got water in the tent.
Right. Where waterproof is it's completely sealed. So
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I tend to partially believe something with manufacturing, but at the same time, why? Now, let's say you're producing paintings that are hung in a house. What the hell is that person going to care that, oh, my house burned down, but this stupid painting survived? Like, what sort of, why spend the extra money on that? That's a weird thing to do, right?
Yeah.
Plus, a lot of stuff doesn't make sense. What about the frames, you know? I mean, there's probably no mention of it, but I assume that if this painting survived, the frame survived.
Well, that was probably what the varnish was for the frame, I would assume. I don't think they're just running varnish. Well, they might be running varnish over the top of a painting. I don't really know. I'm not a painter. I don't fucking know.
Nah.
I know varnishes for woods are super flammable, so.
What the hell? So I pulled up Wikipedia just to see sources and stuff, and I scrolled down, and for some reason, at the bottom is a reference to Hitler's pet alligator. Hitler had an alligator?
I said they were better. I didn't say they were straight up. You know?
Like, why is this referenced on Crying Boy?
I don't know.
That's why, no. When I Google stuff and Wikipedia comes, I'm like, nope. Go on past.
I'd be scrolling down to the bottom, be like, Hitler's alligator. Let's see where that one is.
Right, that's kind of intriguing. So.
But right below that is soap made from human corpses. Hey, we've talked about that.
We have. Yeah, we have. That's really weird that that's on there.
Oh, man.
I think there was also a lady that did that in, like, Italy. So
made soap out of human corpses?
No. Hey, we don't talk about Fight Club.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, but I say, I don't know if I even finished my thought, but there are videos on YouTube of people trying to burn the painting. I think we started on that. And they look pretty legit. You can also find pictures from, like, when the sun did their pile of burning. And so no matter why or how or any of that, we do know for a fact the paintings don't burn. Be it, you know, the people made them that way on purpose, which doesn't make sense to me. And I almost wondered if there was some sort of influence on them to do that. If there is some sort of curse or energy, something in the paintings, do you think that could have influenced them? Like, hey, this needs to be flame retardant, flame resistant, whatever the word is. Do you think that's at all possible to be connected?
Well, here's my thing. How greedy do you have to be to know that if a painting's going to burn somebody's house down, to be like, you know what, we'll just put flame retardant stuff on it and send it out anyways? You know?
Let's say if they were under the influence of some supernatural force.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, because we don't see any other tales like that with the paintings, you know?
Well, maybe we're looking at this all wrong. It has nothing to do with the painter or the orphans or anything. It was just some
demons.
Sick entity that ran a company, yeah, and he's like, I'm going to make everybody want this crying boy. I would never hang a picture of a crying kid in my house.
That is
so
weird.
That is a little odd. And then putting it on flame-resistant material, and then everybody's house is burned down, and you sell 50,000. We're not talking of a couple of random people who are like, I want a crying boy. I'm a freak. And it's 50,000. So maybe there was some demon ran a printing company and did this intentionally.
Yeah.
Just for laughs.
Oh my god.
Fools.
Or shit, I was about to say crossword deal, like a crossroads deal. The guy who owned the company wasn't doing well and he made some sort of deal. And you know those are all the, what do they call them, double-edged sword. You do the deal. Yeah, he sold a lot of paintings, but he burned down thousands of homes because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we got to explore all the angles. You know, we go through the motion. The next one is going to be aliens. You know, maybe aliens put some weird chips in the paintings that malfunctioned and burned houses down while they were just trying to monitor humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one seems more plausible than the last statement, I'm just going to say.
Or it was all of the above.
Just a collaboration.
Demon
of
aliens, yeah. That run a painting company, and they put chips in so they can monitor people?
Yeah.
Like cameras, I guess you could say.
All caused by a deal from an orphan who died in a fire who met a demon in the afterlife. And made the deal to contact the aliens. Yeah, it checks out.
Yeah. Yeah. Put a big old check mark on that one.
Right. Oh.
Bigfoot's out back with his werewolf friends and his hellhounds.
I just alien right. Demons just made me think of freaking Doom for some reason, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, technically, yeah. That's what they are. Mean,
yeah.
What is it like? What is it? Go to. Is it Mars that they go to and they open up the
Yeah.
I haven't played the original in so long. Oh, my God.
Oh, right.
I gotta go back and play that.
Yeah. It's been since, what, the 90s?
Yeah.
Sitting on that old big white computer with the pinball on it.
Yep.
Oh, man. Then Columbine happened and then everybody threw away their Doom. And
No. Dude, my mom did that to me. After Columbine happened, I had Doom for PlayStation, and she was like, oh, you can't have this. I was like, Mom, I'm not going to go and shoot up the school.
I heard it was like a bunch of people. That happened to like a few people, like Doom and Golden. GoldenEye was real big on it. Like people were throwing that one away like crazy and boycotting it because it caused Columbine.
I don't know about GoldenEye. I didn't ever hear about that. I always heard Doom was the problem.
Maybe GoldenEye was another one. I don't know.
Which didn't make much sense to me because at the time, like, Diablo was out, and I feel like that would have been, it should have been in the same, people that didn't understand what the game was, obviously.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah. I was just playing Pokemon.
Man. Well, I mean, eventually we'll be one of those people who's like, oh, no, this is what's causing the stain on society.
Yeah. What's funny, we watched... over the holiday, we watched 8-Bit Christmas. Have you ever, guys ever seen that?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Well, it's like this kid's journey to get a Super Nintendo when they were coming out. And everybody was rallying against it because video games cause violence and all of that. And the kids were like, is that what it was like in the 90s? I'm like, yeah, it was.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, what, you have the rating scale on video games?
They... They both go to their rooms and play as violent of games as they want. They're like, oh.
It's so crazy, huh? I mean, I would hear kids talk to strangers and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Hitler's alligator.
Yeah. Is that your alligator?
That's all right. Escobar had hippos, so, I mean, you know, why can't Hitler have an alligator, I guess?
Isn't that in a movie? I feel like I just saw that in a movie.
No, that's actually real life. Now, it was in, like, several movies and shows about Escobar. But, yeah, he in real life, they have a huge hippo problem in Colombia because of it.
Hmm.
Like, he bought these hippos, brought them over. They started mating. Now Colombia is full of hippos, and they're just going around killing hippos now because they're an invasive species.
It's a pretty big invasive species.
Yeah, right?
Like, we complain about fish and snakes over here. Like, damn, could you imagine hippos running down the street?
Right. And them things will murk you, too. They're not just cutting little giants, either.
Right.
Every time I think of hippos, I just think of that Madagascar where she's walking, and the dude's like, I like them big. I like them chunky. You know what I'm talking
about? Yep.
Oh, it's a season premiere and we're off topic already. All right. Burning down orphanages, guys.
And chunky hippos.
All right. So the curvy hippos, them sexy, sexy hippos are in with the aliens and the demons.
Yeah. I like to move it, move it.
Oh, Lord, help us all.
Oh, shit.
Oh. And then Tommy goes and invites Jesus to the party for some reason.
Yeah, oh. What a weirdo.
He don't want to partake in the hippo gangbang, Tommy.
Well, neither do I, so, I mean.
Well, there's the door.
See ya.
He's peeking in through the window.
Filthy.
Who,
filthy.
Tommy or Jesus?
Both. There's just...
This makes me think of a little Jesus meme. I saw that.
Yeah. That's funny.
Okay. I'm gonna play my recorder, get us back on topic.
That sounded like a fairy fart, is what that sounded like.
That was okay. A trance snake.
But no, did we want to discuss alien involvement at all on a serious level? I don't think
aliens have anything to do with it, honestly. I
mean, as fun as it sounded, no.
Because if we keep saying aliens, eventually we're just going to turn into like freaking ancient aliens over here being like, I'm not saying it's aliens, guys, but it's aliens, you know.
That's why I'm trying to grow my hair so I can do that.
Night. There you
I got a ways to go.
And you're almost pulling off the crazy professor look, though.
Yeah.
What you need to do is you need to get the round glasses, you know. There you go.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get those next.
There you go.
I can't see fuck all out of them. These glasses.
Oh, man. But no, I don't think aliens had anything to do with it. If anything, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to really pin something down on this one.
I think beyond actually being cursed and connected to the kid, I think there is a possibility what we had talked about, just some sort of the guy who ran the company either made a deal with some entity or he himself was. I think that's in the realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that makes me think that is the reason it was printed on that flame-resistant material or covered in varnish, whatever the case was.
Because
that's weird. Because that does. That tends to make me think they knew that it would cause fires.
Well, we're also not really talking about probably one of the biggest things about that, too, is what if it really wasn't covered in flame retardant material? They just said that so it will make sense, you know?
Yeah. And I guess, yeah, anybody researching it, and they throw it in a fire, they're not going to say it's mystical or paranormal.
Yeah.
Right.
They're going to say, oh, yeah, this company 80 years ago used some flame-resistant material.
Yeah, I mean,
You're exactly right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so and that's one thing, you know, I wanted to get at, was because we're circling. I feel like it's making a circle around that. And I really feel like, in all honesty, that they just said that just to make sense of it. Because we want to make sense.
Right.
We don't want to be like, oh, yeah, it's mystical or anything like that. Because if you truly believe that these things don't exist, you have to find a way to make sense of it, you know?
Yeah.
All right. You convinced me. I'm abandoning the printer knowing anything about it. Because that does. That checks out.
Mm-hmm. Tommy convinced Shane of something. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a fucking exciting moment.
Wow. Just look at that smile on Tommy's face. Just made his year.
It didn't show up till after Shane said something, but... Oh, you'd have to see that by going on the Patreon.
Is there a finding?
Yeah, I googled it. There are flame retardant coatings and things like that to put on paintings. So I mean it exists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say about from the 50s.
Well, you gotta think too, in the '50s, at least in the United States, the products that were out were significantly stronger than the products we have these days.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, yeah, it maybe, I don't know how it was overseas, but, you know, we use asbestos a lot in a lot of materials, and it was a flame-resistant material. Yeah, and I think in a lot of countries, especially like Australia and stuff like that, asbestos is out. It's outlawed. Like, you'll get huge, like, tens of thousands of dollar fines if you get caught with asbestos parts or anything with asbestos in it in Australia. Now, I don't know what that is in Italy or any of those places, especially in the 50s, but...
There was a... Well, no. That just says they made products since the 50s. I find flame resistant or flame retardant varnish for wood from the 50s, but nothing for like paintings.
Yeah.
So
I still find it odd. I mean, it, no matter how you frame it, no pun intended, it shouldn't burn for a fucking hour.
Mm-mm.
That small. Like drywall, I get it's thick, usually half inch, 5/8, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But a painting should burn within minutes.
Yeah.
Or plus, a few seconds if you dump gasoline on it.
Plus, you would essentially have to cover the whole painting. So not only just the front with the picture, but also the back of the canvas.
Yeah.
You know, and the paper and all that.
So I don't think that's what it was. That's just my take on it. I think it's just somebody just trying to make sense of something they can't wrap their head around.
Yeah, because it doesn't make sense how it survived.
Mm-mm. So.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to rule that out. I think the final mystery to me is why people bought it. Well, I guess I don't understand the style of the 70s and 80s, but it just seems like a weird thing to have.
It's anything. Why do you buy any painting?
Right.
You know? Like, when I was growing up, my grandmother had paintings of, like, flowers and shit in her house. Or, you know, angels and stuff like that. I guess it's if you like that thing, you're going to buy that thing.
So you like looking at flowers. Mm-hmm. If you like angels, if you're religious, no one likes looking at a crying kid, though, right?
I mean, it's people also look at symbolism behind it. Some people buy it for symbolism or for culture in a way, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to feel sophisticated and, you know, kind of show off to your friends, like, ah, look at this picture of this crying baby. He wants bread, you know? So there's that, you know, or it
symbolizes
just
the inner emotions of an orphan child.
Right.
I'm trying to look paintings. I have a painting of us on the wall that my daughter made and of space, of Carnage from Marvel and, Grogu. Those are my paintings.
I have a painting from, like, Victoria-era house that my dad gave me for a birthday present because they found, like, 8 of them in a storage unit and he couldn't get rid of them. So,
oh, remember saying that, the hotel painting?
Yeah.
Or the doctor's office painting?
No. Oh, holy shit, now you say that. It's always thrown me off that my doctor's office has paintings of sick kids on the wall. Mm. And I'm like, now, I don't bring my kids to the same doctor, but I'm like, man, if I did, they'd be like, oh, man, that kid is laying in that bed, sick as hell, and the doctor's holding a saw. And I'm like, I don't want my kids.
That is a little morbid, isn't it? Like,
I want to go to that doctor's office.
Right?
Now, I know the doctor likes antique stuff because there's antique bottles of medicine on the wall, too. You know, it's a cool feel, but that just clicked. So there, I guess I can understand. Even if it is a crying kid, there are the different styles. I don't get it. I just like Baby Yoda and superheroes on my wall. So,
like when you walk in my house, it says "Dream" and "Get Naked" are the paintings that I have, and something that resembles a vagina, but it's like a melon on a plate. I don't, you know.
Well, I mean, you also look at, like, there are people that have some weird stuff, like, what they consider, like, museum pieces, like people who are really big into art, like they'll buy this, like, sculptures of, like, a cup with a tampon in it, you know, a banana taped to the wall, you know, things like that.
So we can just say people have weird tastes.
People have
so we
very
can't even
weird tastes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if anybody out there has a painting of a crying child in your house, let us know. And let us know, are you okay? Like, what drew you to that style?
It reminds me of how my father didn't love me.
Yeah. Well, I'm not laughing at that. That's terrible. But
I think we've talked through the mysteries on it and the story, so shoot. I guess if you guys got nothing else, we can jump into final thoughts on this one.
10-4. Who wants to go first?
I don't know.
All right, I'm going first.
Now you have no one piggyback off of. Like, y'all.
Yeah. Let me put on my big boy pants for this one. No, I 100% believe, like I said earlier, that this is a grieving child that managed to imprint his essence in a painting that somehow gain the ability to travel. And like I said, it may be, like I said, with the mirror idea, the multiple image world thing. Maybe that's how he's able to do what he's doing. I don't want to say whether the adopter was good or bad. I don't know enough about that to give an opinion on why he is the way he is or why the things happen the way they do. For the painting itself, but I do believe 100% that it is a curse that either the painter or the little boy put on everybody. I don't know about the flame-resistant part of it. We'll just say that he's like, you'll forever see me in your life, no matter what happens, kind of thing. But yeah, I'm pretty sure. Just a curse. Just a curse. That's all I got. Adoptee?
Well, I don't know, honestly. Like I said, it's kind of hard to pinpoint certain things. Like I said, you know, you have with most cursed objects, it's either emotional ties or bonds to it, or somebody did some type of ritual to curse it, to actually curse the object itself. But normally that when that happens, it only stays with that, you know, original object. It doesn't move to multiple copies of that object.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think the flame retardant thing is just their, like, the people's way of, like, debunking it in a way. Because
yeah,
what makes me think that too is they said, at least in the Wikipedia thing, that the rope that held the painting or the string that held the painting on the wall would burn first. The painting would fall and land face down. I don't see that happening 100% of the time.
No.
So, that's where I'm like, okay, you're just trying to justify and try to find a reason.
What? Let me interrupt your thought just real quick, just to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, weren't paintings more hung with metal twine than string?
I would assume so. I thought a lot of paintings were hung by metal wire or twine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, being the 70s, definitely.
I think it would. Yeah. Yeah. So, but then again, I don't know which painting they tested, you know, if it had a string on it, or maybe they put a string on it, or maybe in London or in England, it's just something they use string instead of twine.
Yeah. I said metal twine.
Anyways, either way. But again, that I just don't see it still landing face down one way or the other 100% of the time to protect it.
No.
So, and of course that makes sense when you have no idea how to justify something that you don't believe in, you know. Now, as far as the curse itself, I don't know, honestly. I'm up in the air. I don't know if it actually deals with children, if it deals with an emotional, the emotions put into the painting through the paintbrush that allowed, once it got printed, that emotion transferred over. I don't know. So I'm up on, I don't know on that one.
I want to add one thing.
Yeah.
This could possibly be the evil entity, as we spoke of earlier, just running the printing corporation. I want three variables in my ending.
Well, as much as I want it to be that, I can't. And I would love for it to be. I think I'm somewhere in between y'all's two main points. So I do think, similar to the mirror theory, right? But I don't think it is because of the actual kid. I think it was the mirror version of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was able to tap into the painting in a weird way. So they're used to interacting through mirrors, like we've discussed before. And they're used to doing that, and somehow this one was able to push through a little bit. And so when it did that, it essentially got trapped in the painting, in the actual artwork. So it doesn't matter if it's copied or on a screen or anything. I think that opposite energy, that entity in the painting, will forever be transferable because he's forever stuck in that image. Mm. And his energy, their energy, was brought to that table and is forever there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Mm.
So that kid that was depicted could have went on to live a happy life. So did the painter. Everything is all hunky-dory. But what is actually causing the curse, and the reason, to your point, Tommy, like, how, you know, in our experience, a curse object is the OG object. You know, it's not transferable. I think that would explain the transferable curse to all the prints thereafter. And I think that's why it won't burn, because it's essentially an entity trapped in every painting. It's the same one, but it's like different instances of the same being.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So, which, man, can you imagine that existence, that you are you in every instance, but not ever fully you because you're trapped?
Oof. That sounds like a shit existence.
Damn. Maybe somebody put him there as punishment. Ooh. The mirror version of the kid, like, oh, you're doomed to forever.
Right.
And if you witness a loving family, you have to watch them die.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
What if the kid was just, I guess the kid was just evil as fuck, maybe?
Or maybe the kid had nothing to do with it. It was that entity on the other side of the mirror, if you will. And then some other entity was like, oh, you're trapped in this painting of this kid. Had nothing to do with it. It was just some sort of something.
It's just something else. Yeah.
Man, that's something like a Sam and Dean Winchester. Like, they trapped some fucked up demon in a painting.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, I kind of like that. We talked ourselves over there, and that's what I'm going to stick with, is it's a punishment to some entity.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, with the internet now, he will never cease to exist. At least before there was an end in sight. At some point, the paintings will be destroyed. You know, even though it takes a long time to burn and deteriorate because of the energy on it, eventually it would. But now it's not, because pictures exist of that print.
Oh, man.
Damn.
Good luck, internet.
So what would happen if, let's say, 100 years from now, however long it takes for the world to finally just go tits up, and the internet gets cut off? Would that mean he was free?
Oh, that might be the ending blow to that entity.
Yeah.
So,
unless... Because
wouldn't it turn
so
him into
it
code?
Would still. Well, that was the question I was about to propose. Because then, if he's on a drive somewhere, does it still exist? Is it still interpreted as a copy or a picture of the print, or is it just code?
Ooh.
I don't know demon law on that. So
I don't know. Would it also depend on if our AI overlords think of it as a code, as a picture? Like, the computer itself thinks of it as a note, like, you know, because zeros and ones is essentially the computer reading and seeing and all this, right? It's the computer's language. So once it becomes that code, does it see it as the painting instead of the code?
It would see it as the image, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So this dude's cursed for forever.
We went dark.
Unless we wiped out every single electronic on the planet, that would be the only way that would.
I feel bad for this entity. I mean, I don't know what they did to deserve it. Maybe it's something terrible.
I feel bad though. That means he's finite. That means he has an ending at some point. Mm. We all have an ending at some point.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, that's a long time.
That's true. Everybody says they want to be an immortal until they actually become one, and then it's a nightmare, right. You know.
Yeah, then you watch everybody that you love die.
Right.
And you can't really have any close connections because once you do, they die. And then you can't die.
I'm not going to go off on that tangent. We can talk about immortality for a while. That's right. That's an episode for another day. Well, cool. Well, I like where we ended up on that. So,
yeah.
Cool. Well, I appreciate everybody tuning in today. Hope you're glad to have us back. I'm glad to be back and glad to see these pretty faces of Josh and Tommy again.
Ooh. Ooh, baby.
And if you want to see these pretty faces, make sure you sign up for the Patreon. And Tommy's still posing, I guess, so you can see this long, glorious, beautiful pose by Tommy. And you see that? The computer heard me call you beautiful and was like, no, something's wrong. I need to reboot. Like, what am I seeing? Also, go follow us on all social medias. Check out our YouTube. There's a lot of cool paranormal investigations on there. One of our last ones was at the Limp Mansion and has the most wild stuff we've ever caught. Mm. And I'm going to be honest, has less views than our other investigations. And that kind of blows me away. So maybe you guys don't know how wild it is. Go check it out. For real. Like demons and everything. And we're not ones to just point and claim everything's a damn demon. That's right. Not us. beyond that, go get you some merch from Etsy. Just search Paranormal Minds. You'll find us some cool shirts there. And make sure you drop a like and a rating on your podcast platform to help us move up in the ranks. And as always, these are just our thoughts. Let us know what you think.